You'll turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. This morning we'll continue our study of the section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. Last Lord's Day we engaged in a lesson in which we just gave kind of an overview and looked at the Beatitudes in general and what that section of Scripture represents to us and how important it is. And so today we want to consider where Jesus says, I don't know what happened. Hang on a second. It's just technology, it doesn't matter. I did want to share with you, I spoke a few moments ago with a gentleman here, Jackson Hall, I believe is his name, and he's been here before, and I think others know of his previous visits. He specifically wanted to ask for prayers on his behalf because he has surgery coming up on his spine, spinal surgery coming up, and he's worried about that and concerned. And just a prayer for him that that will go successfully and will help him, and he'll come through it just fine. So we remember him as we engage in our prayers. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Near the end of his earthly life, Jesus went and visited in the house of a man by the name of Simon. Simon was the leper. Evidently, this man had in the past been a leper. He has this group of people there. And evidently, this is perhaps a reception dinner that's being offered in honor of Jesus. And during that time, a woman comes up to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment. Remember the story, and she pours it on his head, anoints his head with this expensive perfume. This is recorded in all the Gospels, and we know that according to John's account that this woman was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. At any rate, when she does this, the disciples objected. They were indignant. They said, why this waste? This is wasteful to pour out this expensive perfume that could have been sold and given to the poor. And you remember what Jesus said in response to them? He said, why are you troubling her? Because she did a good thing. And he said, you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. So she has prepared me for burial. Even while Jesus is still alive, she has prepared him for burial, which is something you would normally do after a person has deceased. And he says to her, to the people, that her story will be repeated as a memorial. That's from Matthew's account, Matthew 26, where you can read about that incident. He says, though, you always have the poor with you, and isn't that the truth? That we always will have the poor. Poverty has always been, and we trust it will be forever, a perpetual problem in the world. It is a great social problem. And even in an affluent country, the richest country on earth, in this country, the United States, statistically, about 10% of people in this country live below the poverty level. And the definition means that they don't have enough just for the basic necessities to live. In some countries, it's much higher than that. Some of the sub-African countries, it's as high as 45% of the people are in that predicament. Now, the poor will always be with us. But Jesus' statement should not be used as an excuse for ignoring the poor. We have responsibility to do what we can But sometimes other concerns take precedence over the poor. As Mary understood, when she said that she, in her estimation, it's more important to honor Jesus because of what he's about to endure, and that's why she did that. There is a spiritual aspect to poverty. The poor, the Bible says that the poor people of this world are going to be more receptive to the gospel and more fit for the kingdom of heaven than those who are rich. And that's just stated many times. In Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount, it's called the Sermon on the Level Place in Luke chapter 6, and maybe that it was a different version of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, but at any rate, in that section, there are woes that are pronounced upon the rich. Woe to those who are rich now. In the same passage, blessed are those who are poor now. And so those two, the rich and the poor, are put in opposition to one another. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus goes into the synagogue in Nazareth, he opens up the scroll to the passage in Isaiah chapter 61, where the prophet spoke of the time when the gospel would be preached to the poor. That is, it's going to be good tidings, that good news that's going to have special appeal to those who are poor and destitute of this world. We remember that in Luke the 18th chapter, Jesus said that those who are rich are not going to easily find their way into the kingdom. In fact, he says it's difficult. He says it's going to be easy for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. You see this over and over again. And Luke chapter 21, we read the incident there of a poor widow who goes into the temple area, into the temple treasury area, and all these people are coming and generously giving of their wealth. This poor widow gives the only two copper coins she possesses that she can rub together. All that she had to live on, she puts it in there. And Jesus said that she was more generous in spirit than those who are rich. And maybe it's for all these reasons that the statement is made in Mark chapter 12, verse 37, concerning the teaching of Jesus, that the common people heard him gladly. It's true that those who are destitute, those who are down and out, will often be in a position to be more receptive to the gospel. And that's been true in Old Testament times and in New Testament times as well. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have an arrogant poor person. Sometimes poor people can be arrogant, rebellious against the Lord, and cynical and bitter, that blame God for their plight in life. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 9, there are those who profane the name of the Lord by stealing. So, a person is in dire straits. If they steal, you profane the name of the Lord. On the other hand, the rich can be humble. Not all rich people were proud and haughty and rebellious. There's Job, there's Abraham, there is even the tax collector Zacchaeus, a rich man. All these people demonstrated humble attitude and faith toward the Lord. Having said all that, though, in Matthew 5 and verse 3, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," Jesus is not really speaking of economic poverty. He's not talking about how much we have of this world's material goods. He was teaching about something else entirely. So, let's just, for a few moments, let's ask the question, who are the poor in spirit? And why did he say that the poor in spirit are blessed because theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Well, of course, to say poor in spirit tells us right away that he's talking about a kind of spiritual poverty. Poverty of spirit, spiritual poverty. He's talking about those who are poor in a more profound sense than not having enough of material things of this life to get by. He's talking about what we might think of as kind of a spiritual bankruptcy that we can get ourselves into. In fact, the word translated poor in this passage is a word that means absolutely destitute. You know, it's one thing to be so poor that you're having trouble making your car payment. We sometimes say, well, I'm poor, or I'm insurance poor, or I'm whatever it is. No, this word poor means you're really poor. It means you're destitute. It means someone who has been reduced to the most abject poverty as a beggar. It's kind of like in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Lazarus was so poor that he was lay at the gate outside the rich man's estate to beg of those who came by so he'd have enough for his next meal. Crumbs off his table is the way it's described. And poor then, in the spiritual sense, is that we are poor in spirit. This spiritual poverty means that we have come to the point where we realize and face to face with the reality of our spiritual poverty. We've got to come to that place, Jesus is saying, where we understand, I don't have anything that I can bring to the table. I don't have anything that I can offer. I'm totally at the mercy of God. You know, it's just the very opposite of pride. And the Bible talks about, Jesus often talks about how those who are exalted will be made low, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And this is an amazing place to begin the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who are at rock bottom. Blessed are those who are bankrupt. Blessed are those who are broke. Spiritually in that position. Who have come to acknowledge how desperately in need we are. And we have to come to that place. It means that we are in need of mercy. You know, to be reduced to begging, you know, means that we're completely at the mercy of others. And so this idea of blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are in a, so destitute that they beg, we're completely at the mercy of others. Well, there's a spiritual sense in which that's true. The prophet Jeremiah said that it's not a man who walks to direct his own steps. We can't find our own way without God's help. Not only are we destitute and poor spiritually, we don't have any right to anything. We don't even have a right to. You think about it in a physical sense, this prodigal son that goes away in Luke chapter 15, and he demands his inheritance, and he goes away, and pretty soon he squanders his inheritance on riotous living, and he loses it all. He spends it all, and so he gets so desperate that he goes to hire himself out to one of the citizens of the country, and he sends him into his fields to feed swine. And he's so bad off, he says he would gladly fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. He says no one was giving anything to him. Desperate. Imagine being in that plight. The turning point of the story is when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and yet here I am dying with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired men. I believe that helps us get a glimpse of what it means to be poor in spirit. If you apply that kind of desperation to our spiritual state, or you think about the tax collector in the story of Luke chapter 18. Here's the Pharisee, and then there's the tax collector. One's very religious, pious man. One has a reputation for being wicked. And they go to the temple to pray, and there's the Pharisee who lifts his hands up, says, Lord, I thank you that I'm a good person, and he goes through all of his accomplishments. And he said, I'm not like this tax collector over here. And then there was a tax collector who said, couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's poverty in spirit. And in that same text, after he tells that story, Jesus again repeats the axiom that we have to be humble to be exalted. You see, we are completely dependent upon the mercy of God. We sang that song a moment ago, "I need thee every hour." We're needy. You know, needy is another term for poor, isn't it? We say poor, someone who's needy, someone who's having to beg all the time to get by. We can go out here to sleep in almost any city in our country and there will be people homeless. They don't have a home. They're sleeping on the streets. They're sleeping under bridges. We need to recognize. We need to recognize that's us in our sins. That's us with regard to our relationship with God and the need that we have. We are needy. Our sin has brought us into this lowly state. And yet, why is it then that Jesus says, they are blessed, the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? I tell you, it's because we come to recognize our need. Unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the way Jesus puts it in Matthew 18. That's another way of getting at this idea of emptying oneself, of recognizing how poor we are spiritually. We've got to become like a child, totally dependent on someone else in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And of course, that's why Jesus came. Look at what Jesus gave up. The riches and glories and the privileges of heaven, he gave up. Come down to this low land of sin and sorrow, we think, sometimes. And to suffer a humiliating death. Here's the way Paul summarizes all that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see that? It's turned around. Those who humble themselves will be exalted because Jesus, who was exalted, humbled himself for us. So if blessed are the poor in spirit, it's so important for us to think about. We're going to sing this song, and this is one that I did ask Brian to lead. He contacted me yesterday asking if I had any requests, and I couldn't think of anything at first. And then somewhere during the afternoon it hit me. This song we sang, "I Need Thee Every Hour," he had already picked that one out. He was ahead of me. But I thought of this one because it says, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Just as I am, I don't have anything to offer. Nothing I can give to deserve this. Nothing I can give to pay for it. But I need it. I need salvation. I need to be with the Lord. And he has made it possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope we'll be thankful for that and recognize the blessings that we have, the blessedness of being among those who are poor in spirit, because he says theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs the reward. Here's how the Lord God will honor us. And he makes us one of his. If there's anyone here today and is subject to this invitation of the gospel, we have this opportunity right now. Let us stand as we sing.